Philip Rivers, how is he different than Manning? And
well, I mean, right now, I mean, you know, I think most people would argue that he's probably playing the position as well as anybody in the league. He's right at 70% completion, hasn't been sacked very many times, hasn't turned the ball over. And, you know, I think in the last 2 years, I really feel like this guy has gone from, you know, maybe where you thought, okay, he's leveling off, to he's taken off in the last 2 years. And I think one of the things he's done a great job of in the last two seasons is he's done more taking what's available than he does. You know, he is such a gifted guy that I think in the past he was always waiting, you know, to see if somebody big would come open down the field, you know, and he had the gun to get the ball down there. But I think now he sees the defense as he's doing it, and he's much more comfortable dropping the ball off. And I think it's made them a really efficient football team. And, you know, he keeps the chains moving. He doesn't get negative yards very often. So that's the real issue. I mean, you know, the guy can make any throw. He's always been he's got a strong arm. It's a little unorthodox motion. But, my gosh, the last two seasons he's been as accurate as anybody in the NFL.
As far as you can tell, does he have as much freedom as Manning or Brady to change?
I think I don't know the exact system, you know, but, you know, the Mike McCoy, of course, came from Denver when Peyton first came. So I think there's a lot of carryover there in those systems, you know. And they use a lot less the no huddle than Peyton does, you know, so you don't see him orchestrating. But I think he controls at the line a lot of things, and I'm sure he has a pretty good chunk of freedom there to do what he thinks is best.
So does containing him basically come down what it is every week, just technique and just doing?
Well, it's going to take all 11 guys, and part of it is going to be, you know, because when a guy's throwing the routes he's throwing, a lot of them are underneath routes as well. You're going to have to do we're going to have to do a great job of tackling, you know, because there's a lot of what we would call catch and run plays, you know, where receivers are running across the formation. And the ball may not travel very far, but the potential of the play, you know, if they get outside the defense from going from one side to the other. So, you know, a lot of times you think of defending the field in depth. They also make you defend the field in width because of the kind of routes they throw.
What did you guys learn from facing Keenan Allen twice last year, man? Like, it's a big lesson there.
He's good. You know, I mean, he's I think, really developing as a receiver, you know, as far as route running and all those things that just come with experience. But he's a talented guy. He's got really good hands. Obviously, the quarterback has a lot of trust in him, and that's a big part of developing. You know, when that quarterback, you know, trusts that receiver and anticipates, because if we're doing our job right, if you wait to see if he's open, hopefully we can get him covered. If you can throw it before he's open, that makes our job a lot harder. And that's really where I think these guys are coming. I mean, that's like Gates and Phillip. I mean, you know, they could put blindfolds on, I think, and throw the way they play. And, I mean, they're really good at that stuff. So,
speaking of Gates, you know, he can really stress the defense still, even though mm-hmm. he's getting up there. Just the challenges he presents. And also, you might get Eric back in this game.
Right.
How can he figure
Hopefully.
Into this thing?
Well, I mean, Gates, first of all, is one of those really talented receivers, you know. And I don't mean just his physical skills, but he really knows how to run routes. He understands defenses. Like I say, the chemistry between him and Rivers obviously is very good. There's a great trust factor in there. But, I mean, he knows how to lean. He knows what the defense is doing. So he can find those open spaces. And then, of course, you know, he does a great job of bodying you or boxing you out from get it. Once he gets you on a shoulder, it's hard to get the ball out, you know. So you got to do a great job with him. And you know, it's going to do – he's the kind of guy that you have to know where he's at all the time, even if you're not involved with a double cover or any of that stuff. You just got to know where he is, because you got to have presence with this guy.
Bob, you got four DBs on the injury report this week. Kind of looks like at least a couple of them are going to play, but maybe some indecision with Owens and Barry.
Sure.
I know this is something you put up with every week. You cover for injured guys, but against this quarterback and this group of receivers, and given the particular dominoes that are involved for you guys, is this one more tricky maybe or more delicate than normal?
Well, yeah, it might be. I mean, the thing you always, anytime you're like in Eric's case, you're working the guy back in, you know, he needs a lot of reps because he hasn't been out there. And then, you know, you're always debating, okay, you know, who else are we going to give reps to and all those things. So I think it really comes down to the reps thing. And, you know, like we've just said from the beginning, we're going to let this thing play out. And as it turns, if it turns out, I mean, we'd love everybody to be out there. That'd be our dream setup. And, you know, right now we got a chance of that happening. So that's for us is exciting. And, you know, and we go like that. It's just like, I think the point I would think from player coaching standpoint, you're always trying to get is the reps, because everybody needs the reps. We don't have a lot of reps at this time of year in practice, so it demands that. Now, you know, fortunately with a guy like Barry, he's, you know, Eric's played so long in the league. I mean, you hope he can go in and do it. There's certain parts you just got to get in there and play, and you're never going to be quite as good as you were till you get out there and get a number of reps. But, you know, we haven't done anything really different, you know, from that standpoint. You know, we're just trying to move guys around and be ready. Like we always say, that what's the contingency plan if, you know, if this happens, you know. So that really unfolds during the week by how they practice and how they play. And we say, hey, like we do every Friday, okay, who's the next man up? Who's going to be the first guy in if that happens?
And you're comfortable with your contingency plan?
Oh, yeah. I think we're, you know, we actually have, you know, potentially more pieces than we had. You know, now you never know. You could have less, but, I mean, potentially we have more than we had before.
Who's your nickel guy if Owens can't go?
Well, that's one of those deals. I wouldn't tell you who that is going to be, but but as much as I'd like to, I you know. But you want to talk about the Royals? Or No. But, you know, we're working a couple different guys in there and see, and so that's going to have to wait to see. And, you know, we'll see where that is after Friday's practice.
What kind of growth have you seen in Alan Bailey as a three-down guy?
Oh, I think Allen's had a really good year, and, you know, I mean, he made a big jump a year ago, I thought, in football and, you know, knowing what's going on. He's obviously a very gifted guy athletically, and like I say, he could play, you know, 80 plays every week and never get tired. He and Poe are very similar in that way, so... But I think where he's starting to develop is he's getting all the other things. You know, they come really just with playing. And he's really, the last 2 years, the first time he's really played a lot of snaps. And this year, obviously, he's playing almost all the snaps. So he's a really, I think, exciting guy from our perspective. Arrows up. I think he can take off and go. Got really good athleticism. You know, one of the things that's really great for us is those two inside guys, they can make a lot of plays chasing things down, and that doesn't happen a lot. I mean, a lot of times you're not fortunate enough to have that kind of player. You might have a big sturdy guy in there, but maybe he can't make the plays outside. These two guys can chase screen plays down, wide plays, and they really help your defense.
This is the last thing for me. I know you weren't here for the majority of this streak, but like Rivers beating the Chiefs like six straight times at Qualcomm, you know, just as a football man, like what's the best way to explain how that can happen?
How good they got more points, but I mean, just as a football guy. But no, I don't really know. I mean, that's like anybody that you haven't beaten. You know, you got to find a way to beat them. You know, and like we always say, you know, a lot of times the difference in any of these games is a few plays.
Yeah.
You know, and you know the hard part as a player and a coach is you don't know which one of those plays is going to be the play that turns the game. You can say that, yeah, there's a lot of plays, but every once in a while you have to make a play, finish something off, finish a drive, stop them, whatever it is. And you know, that's the case. Like last year here, we didn't stop them in 2 minutes.
Right.
I mean, so we had a minute, 20 some seconds to go. And if we stop them on defense, then, you know, that's it. Now that didn't take San Diego. But my point is that happens out there just as well, you know. And you know, when you're playing against the good players, you know, that becomes harder to do. So you gotta rally up as a whole unit and really as a whole team. I mean, that's how you beat. San Diego's a good team. I mean, they're really good, good on offense, good on defense, and I mean, we're gonna have to have all parts functioning here to go out there and beat them.
Speaking of the Royals, were you following them?
Well, yeah, you know, I'm not a huge baseball fan, but if you don't get into this, you better check. Better go and see if it's working right. You know what I mean? Because they've done a great thing, and you know, now I'm taking a lot of my information, you know, from what I read. So I'm trusting people like you that this is accurate, you know.
Well, you're good.
Yeah, okay, I'm just checking. But you know, I mean, the thing I sense is that, one, they have a really, this is a team effort. I mean, you know, they're doing it with fighting through all these different things, whether it's being down, fighting to get in the play, the wild card, win the wild card, and come back from however many runs, and then win it in the ninth, and win it again. And that's a great thing. And then I think the other thing is, you know, it's, you know, that power of belief is I think, amazing. I mean, that's one of the things, that always excites me about athletics. I mean, coaching football or whatever you do. Because when you get that, it is an electrifying feeling, you know, that goes through your whole organization. And I think, obviously, they have that, you know, right now. I mean, they feel that way. And you don't really know what it is, but you know when you have it. Mm-hmm. And when you have it, you're dangerous. So I'm excited for it, man. That's fantastic.
Bob, from a coverage perspective, when you're facing two athletic tight ends like Green and Gates, what kind of challenges do you have to cover?
Well, you got a lot. I mean, you know, anytime you're dealing with multiple tight ends, you know, you got a couple issues. You got run-pass issues. You got that going on. And then you got, you know, how do you want to match up? Do you want to play, you know, with bigger guys or smaller guys and fight through one side or the other, either fight through the coverage aspect or fight through the run aspect? And, you know, usually, you kind of have to go both ways in the game to take care of both situations and not become totally predictable. But those two guys are really something, you know. I mean, 89, now, Gates may have lost a step, but I think he gave it to 89. Because 89 is going to run. And we saw this out here, you know, in Arrowhead a year ago. But he's legitimately fast. I mean, he's as fast as any of their wideouts, you know. And those are the kind of, I guess, new tight ends in our league. You know, they're presenting a lot of problems. They're like big wideouts is what they really are. And so those always cause you the thought process, you know, how do you want to play that, match it up, you know, those things. So it presents a problem, there's no question.
Having a guy like Matrius Harris, does that help you prepare weeks?
Definitely, yeah, because it's hard to find, you know, the length and the speed of those guys for your players to appreciate when you're throwing the ball in practice even, you know. When you got a guy like Demetrius, that's a huge help to us, you know, because those guys can go up and get a ball even though you're in tight coverage. And sometimes as a player, you say, I got that out. But you say, hey, you're going to have to be really tight on this guy to get this done because he can go up and body you. And you know, I mean, that's what I think Gates has done a great job over the years, you know. And he's just developed into the complete receiver, you know. I think Green's on his way at doing that.
So what color blue jersey is he wearing out here this week, 85 or 89?
We got both of them on. We have to by personnel, we have to switch it out there, you know. When it's one tight end, it's him, and then some plays we have to say, this is 89 over here now, and he wears his 89 if that's the problem route, you know, or we know, hey, this would be the tough route on us. So, yeah, he has to do – he's done a great job giving us a look this week, I should say.